You know, it is important to realize when you are fighting a battle that is not yours. Because not every battle is ours to fight. And there are some times where things happen and our heart goes out to people, but at the end of the day, it's not in our sphere of influence. It's just not a part of our lives. There's nothing we can do about it. And there are other times where it is just quite simply beyond us. And it's important to understand when that is. Because if we can't wrap our minds around it, it will consume our energies, our time, our attention, our resources. And when it's all said and done, we will be no closer to the end than when we started. See, Jehoshaphat had fought his share of battles. As king of the southern kingdom of Judah, he was no stranger to the battlefield. He knew what it was to fight for God's people. And with all the different kind of political battles he had to fight, you can bet he knew how to deal with the problems that came to his doorstep. But this one was just beyond him. We find out in the verses before our sermon text that an army of Israel's perennial enemies, of Moab and Edom and Ammon, had gathered forces and they were going to make war against Israel, which in and of itself maybe wouldn't have been the kind of problem he couldn't have addressed. He had no doubt defended Israel before, but this time he doesn't find out until they are right on his doorstep. They are past the Red Sea, they are in the land of Israel, and he did not have time. He didn't have time to rally the people of Israel. He didn't have time to set up a defense. He didn't have time to choose a battlefield and exploit that defensive advantage. It was just beyond him. And so what do you do? Well, Jehoshaphat, he said a prayer. And when you go home today, maybe take a moment to read it, because it's an interesting prayer. He is not shy. He reminds God that God is the one who told them not to drive the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites away from their land. He reminds God that God promised that he would defend his people, and he demands that he do it now. He is bold in his prayer. And in our sermon text, we get a chance to see his answer. Here's what God says. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeroboam. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Do you see God's reply? The battle is not yours, but God's. And that changed everything. You see, Jehoshaphat didn't have to mount a defense. Jehoshaphat didn't have to do anything. All Jehoshaphat was to do was to march out to the valley of Barakah where that army lay and let God fight a battle he promised to fight. And that meant that this procession looked a little different. Here's what happens the next day. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." This was not Jehoshaphat's battle to fight. So what did he do? He just marched towards that ridgeline and depended upon God to do what he promised. At the front of their procession were not scouts or cavalry to try to see where the enemy was. Instead, he appoints singers. And with the singers, what they're doing is they're not crying out some battle cry that would shake people to their core and scare their enemies. Instead, they cry out the very same prayer that you will probably say at Thanksgiving today. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. It's not the kind of thing that makes you shudder and quake in your boots, is it? But it was not their battle. It was God's. All Jehoshaphat and Israel were to do was to march towards that ridge, towards an enemy that lay below that was unseen. And if God did not come through, they were dead meat. But it wasn't their battle, was it? They just marched. That is the Christian life, isn't it? God makes us promise after promise, and it is not ours to keep that promise. We just march towards the ridgeline, and oftentimes, how God keeps that promise, it lay beneath our view. We can't see it. I mean, you will agonize over a decision you have to make. You will think about it. You make a column of the pros and the cons, right? You give it a lot of thought. But the time comes where you got to make the decision, and you do. But you do it in the confidence that God will keep his promise, that he will bless his people in all things. But do you ever really get to see how? I mean, you might be able to see this or that little aspect of that decision, but for the most part, the way God keeps that promise lay beneath the ridgeline. Out of view, we just keep on marching. God promises he will protect us. And when trouble comes our way, we believe that he will lead us through. And if not, we believe he will keep it at bay. But do you ever really know how God does it? Do you think you could begin to list all the ways God has kept trouble from your doorstep? Do you think you could even begin to mention all the times you were this close to tragedy? Can you even list all the ways he brought you through this or that struggle in your life? For the most part, it lay beneath the ridgeline. And like Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel, we just keep on marching. As God fights a battle we cannot see. I mean, this time of year, as you get together with family and friends, forgiveness, it's a big one, isn't it? Because it's hard to gather together with people who are close to you or a big part of your life, but because of what someone said or what someone did, the relationship is strained or it's awkward. And even if no one else in the room forgives you, we believe that God forgives us. But you don't see it. It lay beneath the ridgeline, doesn't it? And we just keep marching. And as you get together to eat your Thanksgiving dinner today, you cannot help but hear the laughter that isn't in the room. You can't help but hear the voice that isn't there this year. You can't help but see the empty seat. Because every year there are fewer and fewer people who are such a big part of our life but are now away from us in death. And we believe that that person is with the Lord, and we believe that one day we will be there too. And we know on the last day that person is going to rise, but you can't see it. It lay beneath the ridgeline. And we just keep on marching. And we march with that same song on our lips. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. The march that Jehoshaphat and the Israelites took, that is the march of our Christian life. Sounds easy enough. Except it isn't. And you know that. Because wherever there are sinful people, you can be sure that where there is faith, there is doubt. That where there is security, there is fear. And that where there is confidence, there is impatience, because we get sick of waiting. That march towards that ridgeline, it gets long, and to be honest, we just want to see how. We want to see how God blesses our thoughts, our decisions, our actions in the best interest of his people. And we prefer that it showed itself in all the different successes we want, in all the different outcomes that we have predetermined, and we have no time for waiting. You see, we are impatient as we wait for God to protect us, because when trouble comes our way, we want him to lead us out of it as fast as possible so we can get back to living the life we want to live. We want to see forgiveness, but we want to see it now, preferably in the lives of the people we have hurt. And when the consequences of our sin lingers, when people are not that quick to get over it, that impatience grows. And death? Well, I suppose that one we don't want to see at all, do we? You see, our Christian life is a march towards that ridgeline. And it is so easy to get impatient and uneasy and terrified along the way. Because all our eggs are in that basket. And if God doesn't come through, now we don't stand a chance. This is the Valley of Barakah today. There in the picture, it's empty, but on the day Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel were marching towards that ridgeline to look out over that valley, it was packed. And a lot happened in that valley. Here's the rest of the story. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As he went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As he began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Barakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Barakah to this day. They marched towards that ridgeline. And there before them lay the Valley of Barakah. And do you know what the word Barakah means? It means blessing. Because God fights his battles. It says, as soon as Jehoshaphat and the people started singing that song, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever," the Lord went to work. You see, just because Moab, Ammon, and Edom all had a common enemy doesn't mean they all weren't enemies with each other. There are a lot of rivalries, a lot of hatred, a lot of anger towards one another. And God used those petty jealousies and those rivalries to his purposes. And as soon as that song began, they turned on each other. One killed another. People who were meant to be allies suddenly turned on each other. By the time Jehoshaphat and the Israelites got to the top of that ridgeline and they looked, the battle was done. All they had to worry about was how they're going to cart back all their stuff. And you know, maybe Jehoshaphat never found out exactly what happened. Maybe this is one of those times in the Bible where God lets us behind the curtain, but for Jehoshaphat, it just lays something that happened beneath the ridgeline. The reason I say that is because that's how it works with us. We will never really know how God blesses all of our decisions to the best interest of us and his people, but he does. We will never really know all the ways God has protected us in life and kept us safe and led us through a dangerous world, but he does it nonetheless. One day you and I will stand before God forgiven, completely face to face with him, but until that day, we will not see that. And on the last day, we will see the power of the resurrection because God keeps his promises. So many, though, of those promises he keeps on this side of eternity lay hidden from view beneath the ridgeline. But you know, I guess we don't have to see them. Because the battle's not ours, it's God's. See, this is our Christian life. It's just marching in confidence that God does what he says, that God keeps his word, that God fights his battles. And whether we can see it or not, we know that God always wins. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.